The charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. To climb the hill meant death was surely waiting. Determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people living in freedom, all because of the price that he would pay. His life a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day.
He took the hill, a perfect soldier. He took the hill. Now the battle's over. The price was paid. Our flag was raised. His task fulfilled. He took the hill. On a battlefield for souls, the charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. Calvary's climb and death was surely waiting. Determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people living in heaven, all because of the price that he would pay. His life a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day. He took the hill. Heaven's soldier, he took the hill. Now the battle's over. The cross was raised. Sin's price was paid. God's love fulfilled. He took the hill. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He arose. He arose. God's love fulfilled. He took the hill.
All God's people said, amen. I'll tell you what, I'm glad he took the hill, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, at this time we're going to dismiss our young people back to junior church, 4 years old through 11 years old. You can be dismissed back there. They got a special program for you. Thank you, Ben and Ashley, for that. What a great song. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Where would we be today if the Lord Jesus Christ did not take the hill? Amen. When we think of Veterans Day, we think of those that have given their lives and those who have served our country and served well. But I'm here to tell you, none of us would have any future at all if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, and thank the Lord for that. Isaiah chapter number 6 this morning. And I want you to look at three words in verse number 11. Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Lord, how long? Lord, how long? Will you say those three words with me? Lord, how long? I want you to remember those three words. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, as we break the bread of life today, I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Help us to see yourself high and lifted up. I pray, Lord, that you do a great work in our lives. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see the great need of the lost. And Lord, those of us that know Christ as our Savior, help us, Lord, to endure. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Pray, Lord, for your blessing. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Isaiah was born to a royal bloodline. Herbert Lochner, in one of his books on all the men of the Bible, said this about King Uzziah and about Isaiah. Herbert Lochner stated that some scholars suggest that Isaiah's father, Amoz, A-M-O-Z, was the uncle of King Uzziah, thus making Isaiah and Uzziah the king first cousins. Because of this, Isaiah was raised in the king's court. He was in the inner circle of the kingdom of Judah. He was there in Jerusalem. He was there in the king's palace. We find that Isaiah was a patriot. Isaiah loved his country. And Isaiah loved the king. If you do a study about Uzziah, Uzziah was a good king for the most part. And it tells us back in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and I want to read you just a passage there. And this is not a part of my outline, but I just want you to see what it says in verse 5. It says, And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You see that? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Listen, that tells me this. If you want to prosper in God's sight, seek the Lord. Amen? And then in verse 7 it says, and God helped him against the Philistines. And then verse 8, and the Amorites gave gifts. By the way, the Amorites were the enemies of God. They were the enemies of Israel. But it says that the Ammonites gave gifts unto Uzziah. You know, when you serve God, even your enemies will be at peace with thee, the book of Proverbs tells us. But in verse 16 of chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And because of that, we find that God struck Uzziah down with leprosy. It started in his forehead, the scripture says, and they're gathered around a whole mass of priests, and they hauled him out of the temple, and he had to live what was called a several house away from the palace and all by himself the rest of his life until he died. I could imagine what Isaiah probably thought. This is my cousin. This is my king. And now I can't even go by him or even see him because of the leprosy and because of the sin of pride that had entered into Uzziah's heart. Isaiah, as I said, was a patriot, one that loved the king and loved his nation. Yet he had a higher calling. A calling of God to proclaim the truth of God's word. Isaiah's ministry lasted for over 60 years. He preached during the reign of King Uzziah as a young man, during the reign of his son Jotham, during the reign of King Ahaz, and during the good reign of King Hezekiah. Isaiah ministered to God's people in the king's court and in his palace, preaching and proclaiming the word of God. But in spite of the political alliances and his love for his country, God called him to boldly preach God's word to God's people. The problem was, Israel was living under great prosperity during the times of King Uzziah. But their prosperity led the people away from God. The same as prosperity many times leads people away from God today. We have all that we need. And many people have this attitude, I'm okay without God. Because all they have is provided by the works of their own hands. If we get to that point, judgment's just right around the corner. Israel was blind to their own reality. They thought that all was well with God and with our nation. Kind of sounds like America today. I want you to notice, though, the message of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter number 1, if you would, please. As we build up to those three words, Lord, how long? I want you to notice the message that Isaiah was preaching to his kingdom. In the king's court. Today we are surrounded by people that tell us what we want to hear. But Isaiah was not that way. He told people what they needed to hear. And it says in Isaiah chapter number 1, I want you to notice how Isaiah warned them of their folly. Listen, they were blind to their own need. They were blind to their own reality. They did not realize just exactly what they needed in their life. In Isaiah chapter number 1, look at verse number 2. The prophet said, my people have rebelled against me. Look at verse number 3. The ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. How do you think that was received in the king's court? They thought they had everything they needed. They thought they were doing well. Look at verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think that that probably would not be very well received in the king's court. Basically, here was someone that was standing up, someone that was raised in the king's court, someone who was related to the king, and saying, you folks, you're in trouble with God. Look at verse number 16, chapter number 1. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah's preaching to them, listen, Israel needs to get right with God. Look at verse 21. He gets a little bit more pointed. How is the faithful city become an harlot? I don't think that the king nor the kingdom probably received his words very well. I want you to notice, as the first six chapters, actually the first five chapters of Isaiah, well, Isaiah's preaching. Isaiah's preaching and Isaiah's condemning. And Isaiah is saying, look, Israel needs to get right with God. The judgment of God is coming, and even warned them about the king of Assyria coming and destroying them. Isaiah was a preacher of doom. Now, I know we all like happy sermons, right? We all like to have positive messages. We don't like to have the doom and gloom. And listen, I personally don't like to preach those doom and gloom, but you know there's a lot of that in the scripture. And you have to go ahead and preach that along with, you know, listen, if you preach about heaven, you got to preach about hell. Amen? If you preach about the love of God, you got to preach about the judgment of God. God is balanced. We ought to be balanced in our preaching. So Isaiah warned them of their folly. Isaiah pronounced judgment, the coming judgment upon the kingdom. Look at chapter 5, if you would, please.
Chapter number 5. Look at verse number 8. He says, "Woe to them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." He is preaching about greed in verse number 8. By the way, you see the word woe? That word woe, if you look it up, means the judgment of God. Look at verse number 11. "Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they may continue until night, till the wine inflame them." He is preaching to them about drunkenness. Look at verse number 18. In verse number 18, it says, "Woe to them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope." He's preaching to them about those that live in sin. Look at verse number 20. In verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." We have a lot of that today in our society. He is preaching to those that are actually false teachers. Verse number 20. Verse number 21, it says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." He is preaching to those that are conceited. Look at verse 22 and 23. "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Woe to them that work deceit." Deceitful workers. I imagine that the call of God on Isaiah, after a period of time, began to make him weary. You know, even the Apostle Paul talked to the Galatians and he said that we are not to be weary in well-doing. "For we shall reap if we faint not." After a period of time, years of teaching a Sunday school class, or years of preaching the Word of God, years of driving a bus route, years of going out and knocking the doors and trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, after a while, sometimes our well-doing, we get weary. Can I hear an amen? 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 Living for God year after year, after a while, we get weary with well-doing. And I imagine Isaiah, as he was standing there against the place where he was raised and against the family that he was raised with, he began to be weary with well-doing. Wearied with the task, probably stifled by the rejection that he had. In chapter number 6, God gives Isaiah a life-changing vision. And I want you to see what it says. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." You know, sometimes it's not until we get the earthly kings out of our life will we ever see God for who he really is. Many times we have other kings enthroned upon our life instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got our job, we've got our money, we've got our prestige, we've got our power, and those things reign in our lives like a king. Those things will keep us from seeing God like he really is. "And in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one flew And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now look at verse number 9. Notice what God tells him. After Isaiah had this life-changing experience and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, the Lord said in verse number 9, he said, Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? Lord, how long am I going to have to do this? Lord, how long am I going to have to continue going on? And he answered and said, Until the cities be waste without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet it shall be, and yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I want you to notice in verse number 1 through verse number 4, here God reveals himself. He is high and lifted up, verse number 1 through verse number 2. We find in verse number 3, the angels fly through around the throne of God and cry out, Holy, 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 and reveals the holy nature of God. In verse number 3, it talks, the last part, it says the whole earth is filled with his glory. It reveals his omnipotence. He's telling Isaiah, listen, I am all powerful, and I realize what is going on with Israel. And I realize that there is a problem. And I realize that I'm going to take care of the situation. Look at verse 5. Isaiah sees himself. I really believe, and you're not going to really see yourself as you really are until you get a good glimpse of who God really is. Amen. Who is God? He is the one that created all things. He is the one that spoke the world into his existence. He is high and he is lifted up and he is holy and he is pure and he is righteous. You know, it's sad in today's churches we find that man has brought God down to their level. Instead of us being able to look up to God. Churches today are all about, what can the church do for me? I'm going there to get my emotional and spiritual fix for the week. But listen, when we go to church, it's not about you. It ought to be all about God. And Isaiah sees himself, verse number 5, he sees himself as sinful. From chapters number 1 through chapters number 5, we find that he is pointing and saying, Woe unto you, and woe unto you, and woe unto you. And he's pointing out the sin of everyone until all of a sudden he sees God and he says, Woe is me. You know, we really get a good look at God of who he is. We will say, Woe is me. In verse number 6 and 7, God purged him and cleansed him. In verse number 8 through 10, we see a calling of God on his life. Now, as we look at the calling of God on his life, this is an interesting thought. Verse number 8, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. Great missionary verse, amen. And we've probably all heard this before. I know I've preached this before. But then he begins to tell him in verse number 9 and 10. He says, and he said, go and tell this people. What people? The people of Israel. The people that would not listen, chapters number 1 through 5. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. In other words, you give them everything that they need. They're going to reject it. God called Isaiah to a failing ministry. Stop and think about that. God called Isaiah to a ministry that God knew was going to fail. In just a few short years, Assyria was going to come and carry them away captive. How sad. Babylon was not far behind. Going to carry Judah away captive. God called him to a failing ministry. He was also, look at verse number 11. It says, how long, Lord? Or Lord, how long? And he said, until the cities be waste without inhabitant, until the houses without man and land be utterly desolate. He called him to a ministry that he knew was going to end up being destroyed. See, preacher, I didn't come here to get this. I wanted to come here to get edified today. Hang on, all right? Buckle your seatbelt. Saving the best for last. And then I want you to notice, not only was called to a failed ministry, but he was called to minister to a bunch of rejects. You say, what? Israel, they rejected his word. They rejected God's presence. They rejected God's direction. Everything that God gave them, Israel ended up rejecting. And God said concerning them, tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Isaiah was called to those who reject. I remember a number of years ago, I was talking with a preacher up in Michigan, Brother Rick Flanders. And he pastored a little church in Junietta, Michigan. Junietta is just a little crossroad up there in Michigan, ran about 400. I called him to pick his brain. I thought I'd come to the end here at Grace Baptist Church, probably about 12 years ago, and I was feeling sorry for myself, and I told him, I said, I think we've knocked on every door here at least a dozen times, and we've had people say, you know what, we haven't changed our minds since the last time you've been here. I says, I think I've come to the point of saturation. I don't think God can do anything more here. This is about 12 years ago. And then Dr. Flanders laughed at me over the phone. He says, you think you've saturated it? I says, I think I have. He says, you're kidding yourself, preacher. He says, you haven't even come close. He says, I've never been to your community. Since then, he's actually been here and preached. He says, I'm telling you, you haven't even come close to reaching the potential of what God has for you there in Ottawa County. And he began to say a few things and encouraging me. And by the time it was all done, I was eating my words, and I said, preacher, you're right. Sometimes it's hard knocking on the same doors over and over, telling the same people, you ought to get saved. After you get saved, you ought to live for God. You ought to be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you ought to be in your Bible and pray, and you ought to give, and you ought to be in supporting missions. And it sounds like a broken record after 31 years. And I began to be like Isaiah and say, Lord, how long? Lord, how long? And like Isaiah, I want you to notice three things that God told him. How long do I continue? How long do I carry this burden? How long do I endure the pain? How long do, Lord, do I suffer the rejection? That's what Isaiah is saying. And listen, you may be going through a trial in your life. You may be going through difficulties in your life. Listen, God may have appointed you across the bear that nobody else understands. And you may ask the question, Lord, how long do I have to do this? Notice what God told him, verse number 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered and said, until the cities be waste without inhabitant, until the houses and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. How long, Lord? Lord, how long do we have to do this? Until there isn't any left. That's what God told him. How long do we continue on with our Sunday school? And how long do we drive a bus route? And how long do we go ahead and reach those that really don't want to be reached? How long, Lord? And the Lord said, Isaiah, you keep preaching until there is none left. Quitting is not a part of God's plan. There's always someone that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for every person that moves out, there's someone that's moving in. Amen? And those people, they need the gospel. I've knocked on the doors up and down this street how many times? It's time to go out and knock on them again. You know why? Because there's a bunch of new people that just recently moved in. Amen? Some people have moved away, some people have died, and now new tenants have taken up their place. How long? Lord, how long? Until there is none left. There is no retirement in God's ministry. There is no retirement in God's calling. Listen, there is no quitting on being a Christian. Lord, how long? Number one, until there isn't anyone left. Can I ask you a question this morning? How many of you know someone that needs to get saved? Can I see your hand this morning? You know someone that needs to get saved? Yeah, we all do. Now's not the time to quit. Lord, how long? We keep doing what's right and faithful before God until everyone gets saved that we can get saved. Amen? Until there's none left. Look at verse 12. Lord, how long? Number one, until there is none left. Number two, until there is a great forsaking and until the captivity comes. Now listen, Judah was ready to experience a captivity. And until that captivity comes, and until Israel or Judah is actually carried away, you just keep on preaching, Isaiah. You keep on doing what's right. You keep on serving God. Even though the rejection is there, even though the burden is great, even though people don't understand, you continue to do what I have told you to do. He said, until there's a great forsaking. By the way, in chapter number 1 of Isaiah, I've got a little footnote at the beginning. Actually, according to my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it says that chapter 1 was written about 760 B.C. In chapter number 6, it was about 758 B.C. And then we find that it wasn't even during his lifetime that Nebuchadnezzar came. Isaiah was already gone. We find about 712 BC, Assyria comes down and takes away the northern tribes back to Assyria. How long? Lord, how long? Listen, we just need to keep doing what God wants us to do. And it says there, until there is a great forsaking, and the captivity comes, verse number 12. Isaiah's ministry lasted for about 60 years. As I said, he preached during Uzziah and then Jotham and then Ahaz and then Hezekiah. And then Hezekiah, his son, was the wicked king Manasseh. And as soon as Manasseh came into power, Isaiah was there. Now, it's not recorded in the Bible except a hint in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, talking about the roll call of faith. And it says, concerning the martyrs of the Old Testament prophets, it says, and some were sawn asunder. And history tells us that Manasseh hated him so much because he would not stop preaching that they shoved him inside of a hollowed out log and took a saw and cut it in half and killed Isaiah. Sawn asunder. Lord, how long? Until there's a great forsaking, until the captivity comes. By the way, he didn't even see that. That means he had to keep on going until the end of his life. The Apostle Paul said, when he was getting ready to leave, he says, I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. He said, my departure is at hand. How long, Lord? Lord, how long am I going to do this? Until there's a great forsaken, the captivity comes. Well, he died before that. And then verse number 13. Notice what it says. But yet in it shall be a tenth. And it shall return. About a tenth of the captivity actually came back to the promised land. You know how many years? 70 years after they were taken. Lord, how long? He told him, he says, you keep preaching. You keep doing what I commanded you to do until the promise is fulfilled and they come back. Lord, how long? Until the promise is fulfilled. How long do we keep preaching? And how long do we keep teaching? And how long do we keep doing what's right? Until the promise of God is fulfilled. And the trumpet sounds and calls us out of this world. We keep doing what's right and we keep preaching and we keep teaching. You say, but preacher, people aren't listening anymore. You keep preaching and you keep teaching and you keep sharing the word of God. You say, well, I've been rejected. You keep doing what God has called us to do, amen? Regardless of what anybody else does. Listen, maybe God has called you to a failing ministry. You keep going ahead and doing it anyway because God's called you to do it, amen? Lord, how long? Until the promise is fulfilled and they come back. Like Isaiah, many of us get weary in well-doing. We ask the question, Lord, how long? How long do I have to endure? How long do I have to pray for them? How long do I have to keep witnessing to them? How long, Lord? You keep it up until there is none left. You keep it up until there is a great forsaking. You keep it up until they return home. Christian, we need to hang on. We need to endure to the end. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? And it's not going to be long. All you have to do is read the papers today, let alone the Bible. Read the local papers. All the chaos and confusion and the corruption in the world is telling us one thing. Jesus Christ is going to return soon. Amen? So, Lord, how long? until God says it's done.
Amen.
You keep doing what's right until God says it's done. You keep preaching and sharing the word.
Yes, amen.
Brother Matthias, keep doing what's right. As Bob Jones Sr. said, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall from heaven, do right. Lord, how long? Till God says it's done. I hope and pray that you'll determine to do the right thing until God says it's done. And there's coming a soon day that that's going to happen. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before Thee, we thank Thee, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Lord, so many times we get weary with well-doing, like Isaiah. And Lord, he preached and he preached and people wouldn't hear. And they rejected him and scoffed him and mocked him and finally killed him. And he cried out, Lord, how long? Lord, help us to understand it's not needful for us to know the times of the seasons. But it is needful for us to know that we need to keep doing the right thing. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to endure. Help us, Lord, to stand fast. Help us, Lord, not to quit. Lord, help us to see Thee high and lifted up and be encouraged and strengthened and challenged to live for Thee. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that's without Jesus Christ, that today they would accept you as their Savior. Lord, if there's Christians here today that are discouraged, Lord, help them to look to Thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord, now for Your hand upon each and every one. Bless in a great way. We ask it in Christ's name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand with me as the instruments play through a verse of invitation? Let's stand together, please. This morning, if you need to come and pray, we invite you to come this morning. This morning, maybe you need to come. Maybe God's dealing with you about something in your life. I invite you to come this morning. Maybe you're going through a time of discouragement as a child of God, and you're saying, Lord, how long do I have to do this? Listen, why don't you go ahead and give that to God? And this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come and trust Jesus Christ today? Would you come? As Brother Ben sings, we invite you to come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within. Without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the
mind. Certainly the Lord has spoken to you this morning. We invite you to come. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before Thee, we thank Thee, Lord, for Your word today. Lord, I ask and pray that You'd bless Your word to our hearts. Give us determination, Lord, just to keep on doing what You've called us to do, even though times may get tough, and Lord, even though times may be difficult, Lord, help us to be faithful. And Lord, when we ask the question, Lord, how long do I have to go through these things, help us, Lord, just to draw strength from looking unto You, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord, now that You dismiss us from this place, but Lord, not from Thy presence. Lead, guide, and direct. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Before you